You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1. It's Mailin' In Friday, brought to you by 1 in 100.
Yeah, hi, it's Bill Lumberg again. Yeah, it isn't a half day or anything like that.
Who gives a f***?
Why aren't you at work?
Because I didn't feel like it.
Yeah, you'll figure it out.
It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050. The Leafs live here.
All right, here we go. Mail It In Friday, brought to you by 1in100.net. Win killer seats to any Toronto playoff game for less than a pitcher of beer. Go to 1in100.net. I have no intention of mailing it in today.
I wish I could as far as my gear, but I'm working tonight. Didn't we have kind of an unofficial, like, hey, Friday, we could be a little bit more casual? He's wearing a sweater. Technically, he's mailing it in.
Yeah, I knew we weren't on TV today.
See, I didn't get that memo. This guy is, what is he doing?
That looks like...
That's a Homer Simpson outfit.
No, that looks like the conductor of a bandwagon. That looks like the conductor of a bandwagon. That looks like a guy who's waking up today and saying, you know what? I feel way better than I thought I was going to about the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I am getting abused saying, you're not allowed to support the team anymore. You said the Bruins in five. I'm just like...
But why?
I don't know. Nobody was happy with that performance.
We knew it was going to be overreaction Friday, so...
Well, nobody was happier watching that than I was. They actually...
They played well.
Yeah, they did what we all wondered if they could do, which was number one on the list on the SportsCenter hit. They flipped the switch and they play with some intensity. It's one game, though. Let's be happy for it. Let's move on. And that should be their mentality, too. They were intense. They forechecked. They were physical. They had some idea what they were doing in their own zone.
Yeah.
Great. Well. One game. They should be happy, but not too happy. They say in the big leagues, 20 minutes after a win and loss, you forget about it and move on.
Well, I think you can breathe today if you're the Toronto Maple Leafs, because tomorrow night, if they lost last night, tomorrow night becomes a must win.
Yeah.
You know, you can't play with fire again like you did last year where you went down 2-0 and yeah, you came home and you survived and you pushed it to a game seven. But you're playing with house money in many ways tomorrow night. But that's the mentality of a fan base or people on the outside.
Not from the team.
You shouldn't be thinking that way going into tomorrow night, because...
No. You have the mentality. If you have the mentality playing with house money, you are an idiot.
You're in big trouble, because as far as I'm concerned, they still need to win one more game in that building.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter if it's tomorrow, if it's game five, game obviously seven. If it's game seven, it
Why
goes
not make
without
it
saying.
Tomorrow? Make
exactly.
It tomorrow.
Because I think they can go 2-1 at Scotiabank. I think if they can win tomorrow night, then you're going to be in a position to win the series game six at home.
Right.
You know, I think you need two wins on the road
right.
if the other team has home ice. So that would be my message. We need one more in this building. We're not winning the series unless we win one more here.
I thought they played with a lot of intensity, but I pumped the brakes on a defensive juggernaut. Like,
I don't think anybody used the term defensive juggernaut.
They gave up 21 in the second period. The goaltender was brilliant. Like, that was it. To me, that was a typical Toronto win from the regular season. Top players played like top players, including the goalie.
Yeah, I thought Freddie played really well. I thought Tuukka Rask played really well, and people are burning him. I mean, how many breakaways and like grade A opportunities did he face?
But they were outchanced last night.
Some of the Boston.
I didn't see that stat. I saw the stat the opposite way. That the Leafs.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I read. Yeah.
From who?
Well, I saw Myrtle wrote something like a 57% chance rate was in favor of the Maple Leafs. But you're not coming in here with the tone that you think the Leafs were lucky to win last night.
Not lucky, not at all.
That's what it sounds like.
No,
when you start
I'm
playing the Freddie Anderson chance
Freddie
game.
Freddie Anderson was their best player last night.
I thought he played really well. I'm not sure he was better than John Tavares or Mitch Marner. I thought he played really well. I thought he played really well, which is to be expected.
That's
you have
what
to
you
play
expect.
Well.
I'm not coming in saying they were lucky. I'm saying that you can't say and give up 21 shots in a second period and go, yeah, we dominated that game.
How many did they give up in the third?
Six. 5-6. Two chances.
That's probably worth bringing up, wouldn't you say?
It is, absolutely.
Over the second period score? I would think what they did in the third is probably more important than how many shots they gave up in the second.
That's potentially, but I think...
Well, noodles, but we talk about it all the time. Can they shut it down? Can they do something in the third period? I think that was what was important, really. If you're taking one thing out of the game, it's how they played in the third.
Correct. But I thought they were lucky to get out of that second. They had two great plays. One was Nazem Kadri to William Nylander.
Yep.
The other one was Mitch Marner.
And John Tavares. Forcing Pasternak to make a mistake at the blue line.
Correct.
You know, and then I thought Rask made maybe the save of the game on Austin Matthews with a second left. That was an unbelievable stop.
It was.
So
did it not hit the post and then go back through his legs?
No, I think it hit. That's another play you're looking at. I'm talking the end of the second when Matthews, right at the buzzer, got one off. And he got it off quick, and he had some
mustard. That was when Chara bumbled it at the blue line.
Yeah. Listen, Freddie, they rely on Freddie Anderson more than other elite teams. They rely on their goaltender to win. There's no question that is the formula.
I had him down for six great saves.
Freddie?
Six, yeah.
How many did you have Rask down for?
Three.
Three great saves?
Yes.
Okay, all right. The Tavares breakaway, the Matthews at the end.
Matthews.
There were a bunch of scrambles around the net.
Yeah, good play.
I thought they got great traffic on Rask last night.
I thought they did a great job. The Leafs deserved to win. I'm not coming in here with any negative tone. I'm just saying I believed that was how the Toronto Maple Leafs played this year. High octane, speed, skill, and a goaltender that played very well. That's not a negative tone. To me, that's a positive. Like, that's how they won this formula.
Well, I think you're coming across as it was as high-flying and they were irresponsible and they got away with one.
No, they didn't get away with
one. I thought it was one of their best complete games of the year compared to what we've seen since January 1st.
Yeah, I don't think there's any debating who was the better team last night.
There was a little bit of, to me, in the second period, I watched it again today, like Charlie Coyle had four chances alone. Like, if one of those goes in, we could look at a different game. That's all I'm saying. I thought the goalie was brilliant at the right time.
Well, I think you could do that with any aspect of the game. Shoulda, woulda, coulda.
That's the thing. Like, it gets to a point where, you know, no one plays a perfect game. Like, what do they have to win 5-0 and only give up 10 shots and zero chances for people to be like they played well? You know, I think Zaitsev's a microcosm of that last night. I found it interesting where, you know, this is only on Twitter and it's unscientific, but I thought he played stable, played well. I pointed that out, and people like, he was brutal. He turned over the puck. I'm like, this guy, he doesn't have the hands of Bobby Orr.
No.
Like, you have to realize what your expectations are. If you don't think that's a good game for him, I can't help you. That means you just hate on the guy and you're looking for problems.
I think Muzzin was
outstanding last
night. I thought he was outstanding.
I thought he
covered up for some of Zaitsev's issues. But to me, as a tandem, they did a good job.
Look at the top line.
Struggled. That I thought Dermott and Gardner struggled.
Jake Gardner was really shaky.
And so was Dermott.
Yes, but I thought I think that was more Gardner, quite frankly. Like, I think Zaitsev was really significantly helped by the stability of Muzzin. Right. I thought Jake Gardner, like, in the first period, he put one off some guy's back in his own end, and it dropped right to... I was looking at him, I'm like, he's nervous. Like, that's what he looked like. This is a veteran defenseman.
Was that the pizza early in the first?
Yes.
And it just ended up, it was like...
But I think it's a good thing that they survived and they won, even with that being the case from Jake Gardner, because they're going to need him.
That's what I said. Your best players were your best players last night. Mitch Marner, John Tavares, Austin Matthews, Frederik Andersen. And I thought Freddie was brilliant. Like, I don't think that's a bad thing.
No,
I
think he played well. I don't think that was by any means his like best game of the year or anything like that. I thought he was really stable and steady and quiet.
Given the conditions. Tough building, first game of the playoffs. What happened there last year? To me, it easily could have gone the other way. He makes that save at the end of the first on Bergeron. He had the glove save on Heinen and tight in first. He had Charlie Coyle four times in the second. In the third, there was a tip that went off a Muzzin skate that redirected. Like, there, I thought he was brilliant. I mean, maybe I'm just loving the guy too much, and I shouldn't be paying.
No, I think
more attention to.
No, it's not. It's not that he doesn't deserve praise. You know,
right.
He was very good. There's no denying that Freddie Anderson pulled his weight.
Yeah, like,
if not exceeded it.
I was so happy for him. I think
what happens is when it just starts focusing on Freddie Anderson, then the what I'm hearing out of you is.
They hung him out to dry and they got lucky.
That he won them a game last night in Boston. And I didn't see it that way.
I didn't either.
Like, you maybe saw it that way. I didn't see it that way.
There's you give up 21 in a period, that's a problem. To me, that's a problem. Is it not? Everyone's just glossing over that.
Well, I hear you, Noodles, but when you're up, when you're leading the game, when you're, you know, they were up 3-1 in the third period.
Well,
there are going to be times when the home team comes alive a little bit and makes, Boston's a really good team.
Yeah.
You know, this wasn't like they gave up 21 against the Ottawa Senators at home.
I understand.
You know, the Bruins, of course, were going to have some sort of a response. But then in the third period, Freddie basically could have played without pads.
They were great in the
third. I think it's more important when you're coming off a win to point out something. Like, we've been pointing out a lot of negatives with this team.
Right.
A lot of negatives with this team.
What was the shot total for the whole game?
38-32.
Yeah, it was pretty close. And the possession game, which can be a little bit deceptive, but, you know, the Bruins out-possessed them by a little bit. It was really close. But that can be score effects and a lot of their shots. Right. I thought it was, you know, they did a pretty good job of keeping them to the perimeter. Yeah. I thought the Leafs had great, how many, you know, odd man rushes they had, and they had a bunch of breakaways. And I thought they could have been
on a positive spin on it, where it's a quality team in Boston, one of the best offenses in the league. They're going to get their opportunities. And however many of the shots come, I don't really care if they're in one period. They're going to get their shots.
Right.
But at the end of the day, they got the job done.
And they won.
There's no negative to spin on that.
And I've been pissing and moaning about this team for 3 months.
It's just, you know, I saw people saying complete domination from start to finish. I didn't see that. I saw a really good game. And
I thought they were clearly the better team. Like, clearly the better team.
Well, the chances, I mean, counting, they were out chance last night. But they
okay, well, if that's all you got to do, then if they outchance them tomorrow night, then
they should.
They win, I guess.
Yeah.
But I guess the scoreboard doesn't matter.
No,
you know, taking into consideration different.
Listen, I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just saying.
You are being negative, though. Yeah, I know you're not trying to, but you're being negative.
He was brilliant last night.
We all admit that he was brilliant, Noodles.
Right.
But can you not give some credit to the team that stepped in when everyone in the world was expecting them to be terrible, and I thought they were the better team? Ask everyone on the Bruins came out and said they clearly were better than us.
They were great last night.
The top line in Boston was completely neutralized.
Yeah, they were great last night. The Leafs were great last night, start to finish.
So you think if they play like that for the rest of the series, they're probably going to lose?
Well, no, not the. I'm just saying that if you expect the top line to play like that in Boston last night.
Oh, I think you'll hear from them.
You're going to hear from them.
They'll
tomorrow
be
night.
Much better tomorrow night.
I'm happy for them. I thought it was a good game, and I thought the Leafs were very good. I think I saw some people saying, like, I just have to call it out, some things that I thought were false in watching the game again today. I'm like, hold on a second. He makes a save there. He makes a save there. Turn over here. I'm like, hold on a second. Like, just.
Yeah, well, listen, there's
both
no.
Both ways, though.
But that's the point, Noodles, is there's no denying that. A couple bounces go behind Freddie. It's a different game.
Right.
Tavares scores on the breakaway late. Matthews scores on the 2-on-1. It's 5-1. The game's over. Don't even play the third. So, you got to make sure that it goes both ways.
They were great in the third, and they were good in the first, too, and started the pace.
I thought they played really well in the first. And you're right, the second, I mean, Babcock pointed to that after the game. I mean, 21 shots, that's an onslaught.
Right.
It is. You know, the Bruins were the better team in the second, but it's a three-period game.
Three-period, outscored
if you outplay them two out of
Mitch
three.
Mitch Marner was brilliant. John Tavares was brilliant. Jake Muzzin was brilliant. I think Austin Matthews had some push. I think Nazem Kadri has more. I didn't love William Nylander's game, to be honest, either, but he had a brilliant shot on the
breakaway. I didn't think that line was overly effective. I didn't even notice Patrick Marleau last night, but, you know.
He had the one play down the wall where he missed the net short side.
Right.
Other than that, and that was kind of a
which is another foot race. Because it missed the net, I guess it doesn't count, but
you can put it as a pretty good chance. They had two missed chances down the wall. One was Janssen. Early on was speed, and Rask made a decent save. It was a good chance by Janssen. I thought he was pretty effective in tight quarters.
I thought I thought Hyman checked really well last night. I thought Janssen checked well. I mean, Trevor Moore, he made an impact. You know, it's the fourth line. I didn't think they got completely shelled, which is probably a good thing. But, you know, when you start to look tomorrow night, the Bruins top line, they're going to be heard from. Like, that was an off night for them. They got beat, quite frankly. Like, the Tavares line just simply beat them across the board in every capacity.
Fans chiming in?
Well, it's
some fans chiming in. A Ryan O'Neill says, The best part, in my opinion, of last night's game is the fact that the majority of the Leafs played amazing. And they won the game, but I personally think Matthews was invisible. Right. So how good are they going to be when the guy, when this guy gets his playoff game together? That is my brother.
I didn't think he was invisible last night. I thought, I think
please
he can,
go
he
and
can
keep
give
the community
more.
Of Brampton safe and stop bothering your Here, brother while difference. He's at his
here's
job.
Here's the difference, though. If Austin hits that post and goes in, it's, you know what I mean? Like, he had, I think he had 11 attempts at the net. There wasn't a lot, but I loved two plays from Austin Matthews offensively. One was the transition play at the end of the second period where it hits Chara's leg and it hits the post. That was a laser beam. And then the one on the power play where he faked outside, inside, and put himself in alone and tried to go high blocker. I thought that was a really high octane play. Really high octane. But he didn't, you know, he did, just because you don't score, I you know, you can't. He was
well,
good.
Well, that's what you get paid to do, right? Like he, and he played a lot of minutes. Like he was chugging last night. You could tell that Babcock was like, you're playing, and it's going to have right. to continue tomorrow night because the Bruins will have a response. They will. I think that top line will be a lot better. I think it'll be interesting to see if Cassidy decides to change his approach because I understand why he decided to match up Bergeron with Tavares. I would have that type of confidence, too. They've been the best line in the league for 2 years. The
but
best
does
line
he want
the
to
league.
Free them up a little bit to get him away from Tavares? But then it's Krejci's line's got to deal with Marner and Tavares.
Well, and that's the. I think, again, there are a lot of big things that came out of it. It's only one game, of course. But if you get Bruce Cassidy saying, I got to change something,
well,
that's
something.
A positive.
The top two lines for the Leafs outplayed the top two lines for the Bruins. The bottom two lines for the Bruins outplayed the bottom two lines for the Leafs. If you look at it.
Yeah.
Realistically. Because
is that like a numbers thing or
yeah, if you look at the numbers and not natural stat trick, if you actually go to like you know, some internal stuff.
I don't ever do that.
we're eye test type of people here.
Well, yeah, I am. I don't ever and people can look
no,
at
but,
games or
okay,
whatever.
So
I don't do that.
Did Trevor Moore or Goat get any chances last night?
I don't view a game or the results.
No, but did
chances
like you, in your mind,
chances,
did you think Trevor Moore or the GOAT was anywhere near the net as far as a chance?
All I know from just an eye, I don't think the third and fourth lines outplayed the third and fourth lines of Toronto. William Nylander scored a big goal. He was on the third line for Toronto. I look at that. I don't look at all the other chances that Boston got. And
well,
maybe that's the wrong way to look at a game, but I've been doing it for 6 years. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, I listen, it's probably a you should be conflating the two, right? Like, you can look at both, but I thought, you know, I thought Connor Brown was pretty solid last night from a forechecking perspective. You know, right. He made somewhat of an impact. I thought Trevor Moore, you know, there's a hit online where he just crushes Dano Chara.
Follows through. He
like, just
hit.
Puts him in a suitcase and buries him. And, like, Chara was flat-out atrocious last night. And
I thought McAvoy was.
I didn't think McAvoy was very good either.
Yeah, like,
but I think Chara looked 42. You know, like he looked slow. He looked he was making mistakes with a puck, which is rare for him, because he's usually a guy like, you know, you talk about zone exits, and I know we're getting heavy here with different like analytics and stuff.
Is this right. the TSN but, analytics show?
I didn't well, I'm trying to avoid it as much as I can, but I'm just trying to prove
that.
A point.
I thought Andy Mack and Myrtle and those nerds do that on Saturday. I didn't know we.
Well,
did.
And people are countering, and you know, again, it doesn't matter. We're all yelling and screaming at each other, but I'm pretty sure Carolina. Didn't they outshoot Washington last night?
Yeah, they did.
Like, so, you know, did Where'd they deserve to win the game? I don't think they did.
No.
So, you know, it is what it is. I'm choosing to be positive Friday here because I think
be
the Leafs,
too. I just
Leafs played really well. And if Freddie can continue to play, you need Freddie to play like
That's
that.
That's what I was trying to get across. I
yes.
thought Freddie was brilliant.
He was. He was outstanding. And I think tomorrow night, you know, there's an opportunity for him to steal a game tomorrow night.
That's
steal it. Like, tomorrow might be even more extreme. Tomorrow might be they were outshot 40-21, but Freddie made 39 stops, you know.
And he might have to do that.
He might have to. But still, it's a very different mood, I think, I would assume, around the team, certainly in the city. It's the first time they've won game one of a series since 2003, which really just speaks to the ineptitude of the franchise more than anything else, because they went a full decade without even playing in any game ones. But they're back in action tomorrow night, 8 p.m. down in Boston. We'll look ahead to that. Joel Quinville's on the show at 6:05 today. The Raptors begin their playoffs tomorrow at 5 p.m. down at Scotiabank. And Danny Green is going to call in about 10 minutes. And we've got some audio from that Serge Ibaka, Kawhi Leonard. Did you see what Serge was serving Kawhi Leonard? If you guys missed it,
no.
I will tell you about it. We'll get
the
to the auto. The dish is... I would have smacked him and ran out of his condo. Now, he would have caught me and beat the hell out of me, but you're not going to believe what he served Kawhi Leonard last night.
What was it, like horse balls or like...
Pretty close.
Tongue.
Really?
Tongue.
Yeah, pretty close. No.
Cow tongue.
Beef penis.
Oh, my
God. On pizza.
What?
I'm telling you, man. All right, Mullen, you've got all that audio, right? We'll get to it. We'll play some. We'll see if Danny Green would accept the invitation for...
He chopped up a cow's pecker and put it on a pizza.
Danny Green will join us next. All right, Danny Green is expected to call in here any moment now. We're going to play some of the audio from the Serge Ibaka cooking show. We'll sit down with Kawhi Leonard. This morning on First Stop, Landsberg and Koliakovo announced a Leaf playoff keyword. If you heard it, now is your chance to call in. 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. And the first person through with the correct keyword will win a pair of tickets to see Game 3, Leafs-Bruins, down at Scotiabank Arena. Leafs coming off a 4-1 win last night. And that's a big number, too. 4-1 in that building. It's pretty significant, obviously. We know what happened back in 2013, but it's Positive Friday. We're not thinking like that today. Leafs back in action tomorrow night. So we'll continue to tee up the game tomorrow. And Raptors, they tip off their playoffs tomorrow at 5 p.m. down at Scotiabank. And Danny Green, again, expected to join us here in a moment. We've got some Masters stuff we want to get to as well. But
Tiger Woods just drained a 50-footer on number 9 to get back to 3-under.
Okay.
Maybe later in the show we'll touch base with our Masters correspondent behind the glass, Al.
Al,
give him a
Faldo.
Second opportunity.
Yeah, I think so.
He choked one off yesterday, though.
Man, did he ever.
Got a little bit choppy, but I went to watch him on CTV News yesterday, the news channel. Yeah, I did. He posted it on Twitter. It was great.
Wearing a suit?
I was all suited up and very, very solid work from Al. Watch yourself, Bob Weeks. Al is coming for you.
Al needs a commercial where he's working out and then they talk about his hair.
How's that one? Jennifer Hedger's going to say, let's head down to Augusta now. Here's Al. And just Al's behind the eighth green.
Just yelling.
Wandering around, right. Holding papers, handing them out to us.
Yeah. Just work. Yeah, he's still producing the show at the same time. He's our golf correspondent down at Augusta.
Yeah. Let's throw the eighth. Here's Al with the call. Yes,
so,
sir.
Do we have this Serge Ibaka Kawhi Leonard stuff? Okay, let's play this clip. Kind of, this is explaining the dish, I believe, because the way it works out is Serge Ibaka. He, you know, it's always something very eclectic and a little bit different and off the beaten path in terms of what he serves. You know, all of the guests that come by, and it's always his teammates or people throughout the NBA. And it was Kawhi's turn to step into the kitchen last night, and this is what went down.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. How hungry are you?
Starving.
You're starving?
Mm-hmm.
Good, because today I cooked penis pizza.
Oh, nah. That's out for me, bro.
Penis pizza was on the menu.
Well, why would they do that?
Well, that's what he does. Like, he always serves up weird stuff. Like, he served
really?
Up, like,
have you ever been to someone's house and they say they have pecker pizza? Have you ever been to someone's house? What did he do? Just go to the meat market and say, give me the biggest dong you got. I'm making a za tonight.
I'm making pecoroni pizza for
Hawaii. We were just talking off air about getting some food in here.
That's not happening.
That's not coming in.
No.
Why don't you just order that for the Friday meal, the Friday feed? Just say, can we get the penis? And
we should do that. Actually, we should cold call, like, you know, Pizza Nova or whatever it is, and just be like, do you have the Serge Ibaka special?
Yeah.
Like, do you have the Serge Ibaka special now on the menu? Is that available to us?
That's what. So it's actually a penis of an animal. And you chop it up and use it as pepperoni.
You think Danny Green would know about that? Like, when we interview him, were we going to ask him about that?
Absolutely. Like, I don't think he's been on Serge's show yet, and I can't imagine you getting anybody back after that kind of garbage.
What's he going to have? Anus pizza?
No.
I guess that's the next step. What's the next step?
You always see, what
just
was that show?
Sandwich.
What was that show with Joe Rogan?
Focaccio.
Fear Factor.
Remember how gross that got?
Yeah, it was
eating
food like that.
Live roaches and like that would be awful. I would never do that.
If I'm at Serge Ibaka's house and he says, "Here's your penis pizza," I just say thank you, and I'm dead serious, and I walk out the door.
Yeah. Oh, there's no more conversation.
You shake his hand, say thank you for.
No, it's not worthy of a handshake.
Not even.
I'm not giving a handshake. If I'm going to his house and I'm not hungry,
I want a steak and mashed potatoes and all that whole deal.
And the cameras are on. I'm doing you a favor, and this guy fires up a beef penis pizza. Raptors starting their series with Orlando in town tomorrow. Tip off at 5 p.m. Here's Danny Green. Danny, how would you react if Serge offered you a beef penis pizza?
Not very kindly. or I wouldn't be very open to it. I don't think Kawhi was very open to it at first either. But you know, you're on the show, kind of pressed to do it, have to eat it. So.
But don't you guys kind of know going in that that would be an option, or is that the big surprise?
The surprise is usually what the food is, but you don't think penis would be an option of a food choice of any animal.
Maybe try a salami of some sort.
Yeah. I mean, even then, that's still kind of, but yeah, we don't really think the menu consists of animal genitals.
So does Serge bring food in for the boys, or what? He's obviously really into the
stay away from the meatballs. Who knows what those are?
What happens in the room?
We just sit there, we talk, we have a conversation. So that's all part of it. But we talk, we have a conversation, and then we wait for the food to be prepared. And then he doesn't tell us what it is, he just brings it out. And then he takes it out, and we see what it is, and then we have to pretty much dive in and show the audience that we're not scared.
Right. Well, okay. So you guys are gearing up tomorrow night. You got Orlando in town, and, you know, this season's been... It's been really successful for you guys, clearly. 58 wins.
So far, so good. We want to stay healthy. Obviously, we want to continue to get better and build momentum, obviously. But you want to continue to win games as you're getting better, obviously. So the biggest thing is progressing within the series, making the right adjustments, and to the team that you're playing against. Obviously, with Orlando, we want to... Obviously, win game one, but game one is still the feeler of how it's going to be, what adjustments need to be made. And the team that makes the proper adjustments is the team that wins the series.
Danny, how excited should the Toronto Raptors fans be seeing, Kawhi in the playoffs? You've been around him in big moments, seen him play, seen him produce. How excited they should they be for that next level that Kawhi can bring to the table?
I think they should be excited every year, regardless of who's on the team or not. It's playoff time, it's a fun time of year, best time of year basketball, but. So we'll have a guy like that and other guys like Marcus Gasol, Serge, Caleb, Pascal, who are playing at a high level, to come in and have a whole new team that's a contender, they should be very excited about it.
With Danny Green, game one tomorrow night down at Scotiabank, Orlando in town. You come from a championship program in San Antonio, Kawhi, the same kind of thing. You mentioned, Gasol's a part of the program now. But there are some carryover players like Kyle, Fred and others who have been here for some heartbreak in the past. In terms of those kind of veteran guys on the Raps, the guys who have been here prior to this year, have you sensed any anxiety leading into the playoffs, or do they feel like they're cool, calm, and collected and ready to go too?
They seem very cool, calm, and collected. Sometimes for me, a little too calm, cool, and collected. But I mean, they've been here before. They know how it goes. How they do it. We do it differently, different organizations. So. I'm still figuring out learning the coaching staff and organization, how they take on this next step or approach. But I'm getting the hang of it and getting used to it. They seem very confident, and for a good reason. They've been here before. They know how it goes. But I said, I think some of them are anxious. They're just not showing it as much as they should, I guess.
Well, when you look at even just the starting five for you guys compared to Orlando, Kyle, yourself, Kawhi, Marcus Gasol, veterans, guys who have been through the ringer many, many times, and you compare that to Orlando, they're one of the youngest teams in the league. How much do you guys anticipate and hope to lean on your veteran prowess against a younger team in Orlando?
Say again, how much do we hope to what?
How much do you hope to just lean on your veteran prowess and the fact that you've been to the dance before when you're playing an Orlando team that has a bunch of guys that have never even played playoff games?
Yeah, that's what we're hoping that helps us a ton. But being going into a younger group that doesn't have much playoff experience. We're hoping that experience gives us an edge. Also having the young side of it as well, you know, the younger guys that will come in and give that energy, that excitement, and new familiar. Some of them are new for a lot of guys that are here have been in the playoffs already. So, but we're hoping that experience helps us give us an edge over Orlando this series.
With Danny Green, you've been locked in from three, really, throughout your career. But this year with the Raps, you're putting up numbers that are, like, unprecedented in team history. How locked in have you felt down the stretch here from the three-point line?
Feeling pretty good, man. I think that's a big testament to my teammates of having them find me in rhythm and pushing the pace and us just playing together and not thinking about it so much. Just playing basketball, playing free and having fun. So we continue to push the pace and run and know and do what we do best and thrive and transition. We'll get some good open looks, and as I said, Mark swinging the ball, Kalo getting it ahead. We're moving the ball like that, getting uncontested shots. It's easy to shoot a higher percentage for everybody, not just myself.
Well, you just mentioned Gasol, and really ever since he got here, you know, the ball movement, the open look percentages have gone, like, through the roof. Such a, like, a savvy vet, isn't he? He's just the old guy at the Y that makes the right play every time.
Definitely. He's very great. He's good at what he does. Crafty big. He goes score, too, even though he doesn't show as much. We're going to need him to be aggressive at times, but I think he's getting that more now, being more comfortable within the system. But he does a great job of drawing double teams or just getting in the pocket, finding guys, and making the right play and making sure we get uncontested shots.
How big of an advantage is home court in the playoffs?
I think very big, especially when you have a crowd like we do in the Jurassic Park area and inside the arena as well. Mm-hmm. But to play at home and have that familiarity of the crowd behind you, it helps a ton, especially with if a series is tough up and down, you need that extra encouragement, that extra boost coming from the atmosphere.
Game one tomorrow night down at Scotiabank. Tip off at 5 p.m. Best of luck going forward. We really appreciate you taking some time for us. Thank you, Danny.
Thank you.
There's Danny Green. Raptors Magic, 5 p.m. tomorrow afternoon.
You ever listen to any of his podcasts?
They're outstanding. Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
He's great. Like, he's really embraced. I didn't want to ask him about, like, you know, his future in Toronto and all that. Yeah, because, you know, they're in playoff mode.
Yeah, you don't want to needle him.
No, but everything I've heard is he loves it in Toronto. He loved to stick around in Toronto, Kawhi or not. Like, it doesn't matter. And
I kind of think they'll probably end up being a tandem of some sort, don't you?
You think they'll go somewhere together, even if it's not here?
I don't know. That's just my kind of thinking. They
depends on the money, right? Like, Kawhi is going to be getting top dollar.
And I think Danny Green makes $10
million. I think he'll make more than that this time because, you know, the cap has gone up so much since he signed, and he's an effective player. He's played so well this year.
I kind of feel like he would be a guy that, on a small layer, would be a positive influence on Kawhi staying if he liked it.
I totally agree.
He'd be right in his ear on the buses, on the planes, being like, this city's great.
Oh, obviously wouldn't hurt if he was like, this place is a dump, let's get out of here.
Right, like, to me, if they're as close as everyone says they are, he would be the one guy who knows where Kawhi's going, and that would mean even if they're staying. Like, that's why...
Playing in Carolina, there would be a couple guys get traded from the same team, from big markets, and I could just tell, same thing, back of the bus, they're like, did you see this, did you see that? I could tell. It's just like we always had a thing. If you don't like it here, get the hell out of here. Because we've all been there for a long time, and guys would come in and be like, you know, small market, nobody's in the building. And we would all say, just you better figure it out. Because if you don't like it, just please do us all a favor and get the hell out of here.
Well, and that's another thing that came out of the episode with Ibaka and Kawhi is Ibaka was really pumping the tires of Toronto. And saying how great it is and how much he loves it, and you got to be here in the summer, and you know, like, listen, the weather is what it is. That there's not, you can't do anything about that. But I'm sure, you know, his teammates, they aren't going to say it publicly. They're all going to come out and be like, we're not going to pressure him, and he's up to, you know, he can do his own thing.
Right.
But you know, behind the scenes, why would you not want Kawhi to be here? Like, in the NBA, has become the tampering league. Now, it's not tampering if you're trying to keep your own guy. But it's the recruitment league. Every player in the NBA is trying to recruit someone to come and play with them. Why would you not be going all out if you're Lowry, if you're Ibaka, if you're Siakam, if you're anybody in that room and saying, please stick around. Like, we want you here. We need you here.
We have no idea if they're going to stay. But I just even the J-Lew report, to me, it opened a door of at least positivity.
Yes. Absolutely. No, I can't. I don't believe for a second that he's like on the bus being like, this place is brutal. I hate it. I just don't see it. I don't think he gives off that kind of vibe for anything. You know, he doesn't seem like that kind of person. I don't think he complains. I don't think
I don't know.
I don't think he really, he just kind of goes about his business, Kawhi Leonard.
I don't think he's a disrespectful guy. I know a couple athletes, I'm sure, you're the same way. To me, a guy, I'll say Jay Bouwmeester is like the prime example of a guy who just does his job.
He's like Kawhi.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
That's exactly what it feels
like. Quiet, you know, unassuming, really good at his job. And now, Kawhi's a superstar.
Right.
But Bo did play in Olympics. Like, he's a star and has played in all-star games. But
their
Kawhi's
demeanor.
Special.
And, yeah,
that's what
but
I'm
their
saying.
Demeanor and their approach.
The way they conduct their business.
Absolutely.
Is, wherever it is, they just do their job.
Right. Joel Quenneville will join us at 6:05. We'll get his take on taking that gig down in Florida, but we'll also get his thoughts on the playoffs and, you know, how he feels about different series and, you know, what he thinks could happen in the Maple Leaf Bruins series. So we'll catch up with Joel Quenneville at 6:05. Rays coming up in about 20 minutes. Overdrive continues TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, this golf report is brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealers. Spring for Subaru with symmetrical full-time all-wheel drive. Visit your local Ontario Subaru dealer for great rates on 2019 models. Tiger Woods currently at 3 under. Mike Weir, I think he's going to make the cut. Like last time I checked, he was right there. He is not chopping it up the way many expected. He's at +3 through 16. He's got a shot at making the cut.
No. What was our...
The cut line is projected to be +3. Old Weirzy may be chopping it around.
Didn't we have a Jerry's percentage on him, though?
I didn't think there was a chance.
Didn't you say he was a trunk slammer?
Is he done for the day at +3?
No, he's through 16. He's got 17 and 18.
He'll finish +5. let's check in 30 minutes and tell me what he is at.
We will. Your boy Corey Connors, though, is 4 under on the tournament. He's 2 under today.
He's hanging in there. He's right there.
He's on 18. Yeah, he's not only hanging in, he's in contention. He's 3 off the lead.
Just get it to 5 or 6, and then you're kind of in the last groups for the weekend, and then you never know what happens.
There are some big boys, though, playing atop the board. Like, this Molinari's
been... I just can't stand that guy. I said to myself, pick him. He's so good right now. He's probably, arguably, the best player in the world right now.
He's so locked in.
He's a putting machine.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? The length of Augusta, blah, blah, blah.
No.
And he creeped up the leaderboard today.
He controls the ball, too. He doesn't slash it or anything. He's just really predictable. But you got Jason Day, who's had a comeback here.
Who almost couldn't finish one hole yesterday.
Right. Koepka's right there. Dustin Johnson. Adam Scott. Mickelson. I mean, there's a bunch of really big names. And again, Tigers at 3 under. Somehow, Zach Johnson didn't just pack his bags and say, I'm leaving and never returning to Augusta National. Because
he had a dwarf on golf moment. He took a practice swing, and he hit the ball, and it went 13 feet.
Well, it went off.
It ricocheted off.
It ricocheted off the tee box, like the, you know, the little, I don't know what you would call
the
it.
Markers.
The markers that they put in, the side markers to like determine where the tee box is.
And it rolled 8 feet in front of him.
Then he ran after it, and then he stopped, and he looked at his playing competitors, and he's like, what happens now?
Well,
but
we
it's an unintentional swing.
Right. Let's play the audio. Yeah. This was from earlier today. This is Zach Johnson. This is a legitimate, like, he's won majors.
He's won the Masters.
This is a real professional golfer. And the analysis is the best.
Yeah.
Because it's so extreme. Listen to what happened earlier today to Zach Johnson.
What happened there?
It wasn't intentional.
Wow.
I have never
seen that.
I have never seen that.
That would hit. That would hit wall, though. That would hit me. Sure. That, you hit your caddy. That would definitely would have been a penalty.
Now, I find a penalty.
I would have called.
Okay, there's a first for everything there, boys.
Wow. I mean, y'all can laugh. That's embarrassing.
He went on to birdie that hole.
He's serious.
Yeah, you know, he's 3 over too on the tournament, so I think he's made the
cut. So that wasn't a penalty stroke.
He always takes a practice swing right before he's about to hit it, and it's generally close to the golf ball, but he just hit it, I guess.
Yeah, it's not a stroke unless you're like in position to hit and your club is grounded behind the ball. He was clearly just warming up, so he's lucky that
I was going to say he's lucky because if that was you and we're out on the course, like, we would say that that was intentional.
Yeah, I'm so glad we got that on video, and you suck and you need to leave the course. But Zach Johnson, you know, what I liked too is the caddy was like, if it didn't hit, like, the tee box marker, that would have just taken my shin out, my kneecap out.
You would have scalded and destroyed somebody.
Yeah, exactly. And then they're like, then we would have had to count it. Yeah. If you dropped some guy, it would have counted for a stroke, a penalty.
There wasn't
stroke.
A lot of people there, though. It was...
No. Well, no one cares about that group, basically. And it's in a weird part of the course where you can't really get behind them, I don't think. But...
Can you imagine if that was Tiger or something, like...
International news.
Yeah, that would be leading.
Yeah. So, actually, quick update. I did not refresh my leaderboard. Mike Weir is in the clubhouse. Any idea what?
5 over.
Trunk slamming.
Tell me it's 5 over.
No, it's 4 over, though. He went 1 over on 17 and 18. So at this particular time, his trunk is slammed, and he may be driving back to Toronto. Or Strathroy.
What did you say he was at? I thought he said he was at dash 2 or something.
No, he was three over.
But you knew he was going to bogey one of 17 or 18. Now he's slamming his trunk.
He's driving away.
Yeah. I think old Weirzy's probably got sparks coming off his tires.
Yeah, he's halfway to Brantford right now.
He's
or
going
Bright Grove, wherever the hell.
180 on the I-95 north. He is making his way home to southern Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
Not good. Poor guy.
That's a real shame. You almost wish that you did just shoot 80-80. Because then you're like, now you're on 17. You're like, I got a chance to make the cut.
And you just start three-wiggling that putter.
And, Paul Weirzy.
Yeah. Then you, on the 18th tee, automatic start on the rig. The auto start on the car, and you open the trunk from the 18th tee.
Get the engine started and pop the trunk.
Yeah, and then
Daddy's
it's a quick
going
transition.
Home.
Because you know his clothes are hung in the back seat.
He had no faith when he was teeing off on one that he was going
to
make the cut.
The maid said to him before he left, you want these? Now take them.
Are you checking out? I'm checking out. I won't be here this weekend. All right, game two tomorrow night. We'll
he actually said to his caddy, I better bogey this bastard. We got to get out of here.
We don't have any reservations.
Yeah, we checked out.
I already said I'd be home for dinner tomorrow night. Ray Ferraro coming up. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.